To France, yesterday's attacks on another
place. Some say that he does have ties to Muslim extremists. I don't know.
One of the first two Muslim women ever elected to Congress, Ilhan Omar, a 37-year-old Democrat who in just a few months has become a controversial lawmaker by attacking both harsh Israeli policies toward the Palestinians and the power of the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, AIPAC. 6 weeks before the AIPAC conference in March, Ilhan Omar tweeted, "It's all about the Benjamin's baby," referring to $100 bills that AIPAC lobbyists spend to fund pro-Israel lawmakers.
You're someone who has been very outspoken. You've always spoken your mind. You've always spoken directly to people, voters, your colleagues, etc. And recently, you come under fire for a few of your previous comments.
Recently.
Yeah, but I mean, well, most recently, you know, there was a tweet that you had a while ago criticizing Israel and what how they're handling the crisis in Palestine and in Gaza.
When I talk about places like Saudi Arabia or Israel, I'm not criticizing the people. I'm not criticizing their faith. I'm not criticizing their way of life. What I am criticizing is what's happening at the moment. And I want for there to be accountability so that the government, that administration, that regime can do better, because I believe that we all deserve better, and the human collective requires us to speak up when we see something wrong.
Omar has called on the Trump administration to apply a consistent human rights standard. To Omar, this vision also applies to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, as she calls for a two-state solution that recognizes the shared desire for security and freedom of both peoples. But she reserves her strongest sympathies for the Palestinians. Without a state, the Palestinian people live in a state of permanent refugeehood and displacement, she wrote. This too is a refugee crisis, and they too deserve freedom and dignity.
Congresswoman Ilhan Omar really tries to push back against oppression. And as a Palestinian, I can tell you, when she speaks about those issues, what I hear is her trying to uplift my grandmother in Palestine, in the West Bank, and saying that there are real, actual, factual evidence to show that there's human rights violations.
In the words of Representative Betty McCollum of Minnesota, what has changed is that there are now members of Congress who are not willing to ignore the Israeli government's destructive actions because they are afraid of losing an election. On the other hand, mainstream supporters of the Israeli regime seem to be frightened by the shifting landscape, worried that the influence of Omar will erode support for Israel within the Democratic Party. Democratic pollster Mark Melman and Ann Lewis, a former Clinton White House communications director, recently formed a new group called Democratic Majority for Israel, describing themselves as progressive Democrats committed to a strong U.S.-Israel relationship.
Democratic Majority for Israel was founded to be a voice for pro-Israel Democrats.
We are proud of the Democratic Party's commitment to supporting the state of Israel.
Just 2 weeks after her Benjamin's tweet, Ilhan Omar pointed out that pro-Israel organizations in the United States push for allegiance to a foreign country. House Foreign Affairs Committee Chairman Elliot Engel demanded Omar apologize for what he called her vile anti-Semitic slur. In reaction, Omar said, "I should not be expected to have allegiance or pledge support to a foreign country in order to serve my country in Congress or serve on committee." For weeks now, Republicans have demanded Omar's removal from the House Foreign Affairs Committee. Representative Steve Scalise of Louisiana has even expressed concern that Omar's presence on the panel allowed her to receive classified briefings, suggesting dual loyalty on her part that posed a national security threat.
Think about this. Right now, she sits on the Foreign Affairs Committee. She's able to get classified briefings on foreign policy, especially as it relates to Israel. And yet she's made statements, anti-Israel, anti-Jewish statements, aligned herself with anti-Semitic people as well. She should be removed from the Foreign Affairs Committee. That's something Nancy Pelosi should do immediately. That kind of action, like, look what she said about AIPAC.
This Congress needs new faces and voices. Ilhan Omar is a dynamic, pioneer, courageous voice that has been much needed in the Congress. That voice needs to be amplified. She should not be the exception in Congress. Other members of Congress should have the courage and support the rights for the Palestinians, and they should not attempt to silence her or sideline her.
Omar has also received death threats. In February, Christopher Hassan, a U.S. Coast Guard lieutenant, was arrested and found with weapons and a list of Democratic lawmakers he plotted to kill, including Omar. With the 2020 election cycle now underway, Republican leaders are seizing upon Omar's comments to call, as their election strategy, all Democrats both anti-Israeli and anti-Semitic. Republicans are basing their strategy in part on polls that show far greater sympathy for Israel among Republican voters than Democrats. A 2018 Pew Research Center poll showed 79% of Republicans said they sympathized more with Israel than with Palestinians, compared with just 27% of Democrats. Pew said the partisan divide over the issue was wider than at any time in the past 40 years. Ironically, the Republicans have a checkered history when it comes to comments that offend Jews. For instance, during his campaign, Trump used stereotypes of Jews using money to buy influence.
So again, you're not going to support me, even though you know I'm the best thing that could ever happen to Israel. And I'll be that. And I know why you're not going to support me. And, you know, you're not going to support me because I don't want your money. Isn't it crazy? No, it's true.
A Somali war refugee, Ilhan Omar, is speaking out as never before against Israel's occupation of the West Bank, U.S. financial and political support of the Israeli regime, and discrimination against Muslims in the United States. Her remarks have fractured the Democratic Party, with mainstream members like House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and nearly all the party's Jewish lawmakers condemning her remarks.
I don't think that that the Congresswoman is perhaps appreciate the full weight of how it's heard by other people, although I don't believe it was intended in any anti-Semitic way. But the fact is, if that's how it was interpreted, we have to remove all doubt, as we have done over and over again.
On the other hand, Democratic presidential candidates such as Bernie Sanders, Kamala Harris, and Elizabeth Warren have expressed their support for Omar against Israel's apartheid-like policies.
And a special thanks to Representative Omar of Minnesota. Oh, I forgot. She doesn't like Israel. I forgot. I'm so sorry. Oh, no, she doesn't like Israel, does she? Oh, please, I apologize.
All of a sudden, Israel has become as partisan an issue as immigration and health care. With their drive to paint the entire Democratic Party as anti-Semitic and anti-Israeli, Republicans hope to win enough votes and campaign donations in the upcoming elections. This, they hope, could help guarantee the re-election of Donald Trump, continued Republican control over the Senate, or enough gains in the House to reclaim their control.
And as I stand before you, 8 Democrat candidates for president are actually boycotting this very conference. So let me be clear on this point. Anyone who aspires to the highest office in the land should not be afraid to stand with the strongest supporters of Israel in America.
The election outcome could have profound impact on U.S. foreign policy. Experts say if Trump wins, he's likely to double down on his support for Israel. On the other hand, if a Democrat wins, the influence of progressives like Ilhan Omar could lead to unthinkable changes to the U.S.-Israel relationship in the future.